Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is Seth Green, and you are listening to Somewhere in Vegas with Mark, and I am so hot, I would desperately like a glass of water. Please, please, give me some water.
This is Cindy Preston, and I'm with Mark on Somewhere in Vegas.
Hi, this is Melissa Peterman from CMT's The Singing Bee and the television show Reba, and I have to tell you, I just have to get it off my chest, I love Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hi there. This is Faith Roscoe from General Hospital. You're listening to Mark on Somewhere in Vegas. And you better watch out. We know how to find you if you're not listening.
Hi, this is Shannon Egan from Whippet. And I love Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hey, this is Lee Allen Baker with Somewhere in Vegas, talking with Mark with a Q.
This is Courtney Cronin. You're listening to Somewhere in Vegas with your host, Mark. And I would make sure to listen every week because he's a sure bet.
Hey, this is the Money Man, Eddie Money. I got two tickets to Paradise. And it's, you know what? It's Somewhere in Vegas. And what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Hi, this is Crystal Kale, and I love Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hi, this is Terry Nunn from Berlin, and you're listening to Mark Somewhere in Vegas.
Hi, this is Miracle Laurie from Joss Whedon's Dollhouse. There are three flowers in a vase, and I'm listening to Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hi, this is Erin Hill, and you are listening to Mark on Blog Talk Radio and Somewhere in Vegas. Mark is a great guy.
Hi, this is Sean Pulaski. I'm still trying to figure out Mark Pico's sexuality, but I know you're listening to Somewhere Live in Vegas.
Here you go, Mark. I'm sorry. I thought you were she. I'm sorry. Get out of the tent. Let's get out of here.
Hey, this is Lance and Anna from Free Radio. And Anna?
And you're listening to Somewhere in Vegas.
Yes.
My favorite.
You know, that's usually what happens with me. I go to Vegas and I get lost, and so I end up somewhere in Vegas.
Somewhere in Vegas.
But right. I just don't know where it is.
Not quite sure.
Yeah, word.
Get ready. It's going to be hot. It's in Vegas. Check out Mark. Be there or be square.
Everybody, it's Somewhere in Vegas here on blogtalkradio.com, also our new home over on spreaker.com. I am Mark with a Q. I am your host. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to have rapping math professor Chad Rico. We're talking about his new album and all of his singles that are coming out throughout the course of the summer, as it were. I also want to wish everybody a happy Father's Day. You know, I hope everybody's having a good one with their fathers and giving them a call or, you know, making sure they are appreciated on this day as well. But first, let's talk a little bit about our first guest. Very talented guy who grew up outside of Philly. He has done stand-up. He's done improv. He has a new video out, you know, which is a little bit more politically savvy, but it's really great to be able to have some a little bit of humor nowadays in what has been a turbulent time in politics as well. Mark Gordon is on with us right now. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing out in Vegas?
We're doing great. I mean, obviously, the summer's getting a little bit hotter now. I know you guys out in California probably are getting your warmer weather right now, right?
Yeah, we're actually in a little June gloom, so I would love some of that Vegas heat to make its way over here.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, you kind of break in the comedy scene over in Philadelphia. It's kind of interesting to see some of the East Coast kind of talent kind of make their way over to the West Coast. I mean, how was it for you to kind of go into improv, and how did that kind of cross over into comedy?
Well, it was something that I always wanted to do as a kid. I was always intrigued with comedy. I was kind of a shorter kid. I looked really young. So I always used comedy as a way to kind of be accepted. And I just kind of fell in love with it. So even as a kid, I was always doing like plays and then writing sketches and camp. And then I really just always wanted to do stand up. There was just something that was just like you, Mike, and the audience that I always just like, I got to try that. And once I did it, I was hooked. And then, from stand up. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh yeah, no, I was saying, and then from stand up, which I love, but after a while, it's kind of like you're just kind of like on your own island. And I always like wanted to do TV as well, and I loved like creating characters and just really getting into different stories and just like working with a lot of different people, and then they kind of bring their own comedy to it. And I just love like going back and forth, like having an idea and then seeing what someone else brings to it. So then I started really gravitating more towards like TV.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've talked to comedians in the past about this, about the idea that, you know, I almost say that stand-up's almost, you know, improv without a net sometimes, because, you know, it's just you on stage and it's just you trying to work through an audience and trying to make sure that they get a proper laugh. And you have to kind of almost think quickly on your feet. With improv, you're a little bit more, you know, if something flubs up, there's always somebody there to kind of pick up the pieces, as it were, as well. I mean, how was that transition between improv and stand-up for you?
I really like it, just exactly like what you're saying, is because, you know, when you're doing stand-up, you know, like, okay, this is my act, this is where it goes, maybe I'll riff with the audience. But in with improv, you have no idea what the other performer is doing. And so it's kind of exciting to try something new, and every time could be like a unique experience, and you never know where that scene will go. So for me, it was a challenge, but it's something that I just was like, what you're saying was like, wow, okay, I never thought of that. And it's just sometimes doing stand-up, it could get like old. You're kind of doing the same act, and then this is fresh every time.
Yeah, and then, I mean, in both cases, you're kind of thinking on your feet. With stand-up, I think you have to kind of read the crowd. Sometimes, you know, when a joke isn't going well, or where you're kind of going aren't going well, then you have to kind of switch speeds. And in improv, it's pretty much the same thing. I mean, if it's not really going the way it is, then you kind of have to think on your feet a little bit and kind of change the direction that you have then as well. So I'm pretty sure there were times that you've had that point where, you know, you're just not, you're kind of bombing in front of the crowd, and then you just have to do that turnaround. And both in improv and comedy.
Yeah, that's funny that you say bombing. Yeah, that's almost like, you know, that's going to happen at times. So it's like, okay, how do I get out of that? But actually, that kind of like makes you stronger. I've actually had it once where before I even got on stage, I was booed. So that was like a really interesting experience. But
it's kind of a funny story, actually.
Have
a crowd that does that.
Well, you know, it's funny because when you're kind of starting off, you do these, like, they're called the bringer shows. So it's like you have to bring your friends essentially to get stage time. So it's kind of ridiculous because the people who have the venue, they're literally making money off you bringing people. So the whole time, this is like during the week, and they're like, Damon Wayans is going to be here. He's going to be the headliner. Just stay. And the show just running so long because of people. But Damon Wayans never was going to show up. So instead of Damon Wayans, it was me. So everyone is like a Tuesday night. It's like midnight. They want to see Damon Wayans. They just stay. They bought their drinks. And then right before, they're like, Damon Wayans isn't there. Mark Gordon's going to be there. We're going nuts. And now it's like, okay, get on stage, perform. So that was a very interesting experience. To walk into a hostile crowd. So, but also a learning experience too, because you have to diffuse.
Are you there, Mark?
Oh yeah, I'm there. Yeah.
Okay, sorry. You dribbled out a little bit. Yeah, I was gonna say, sometimes it's just crazy to be able to think about that, you know, sometimes where, you know, I've seen a couple times where the comedian just absolutely kind of melted. You know, or melted down when, you know, I remember distinctly because I was in LA and I was at the store, and, you know, Dave Chappelle did a set, he did a surprise set,
mm-hmm.
And then he left, and then half the crowd left. So a comedian comes on and, you know, obviously depressed that, you know, half the crowd left, you know, and kind of wasn't there for it, you know, I mean. It's one of those things in comedy. I mean, you got to be kind of strong in order to do that. I mean, it's kind of a character building experience because, yeah, I mean, you know, everybody's going to have those times when they're going to have a difficult crowd and all that as well. And you know, knowing that you're from Philly, I mean, you must have had difficult crowds out there too, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Starting off, yeah, there was always difficult calls, but I actually liked it. So for me, I was always like, okay, where's the line? Okay, let me try and kick that line and push it around a little bit. And, you know, like you see some comedians, though, I guess for the young comedians, some advice is, you know, you see these guys, and if the joke doesn't hit, they get angry, they start yelling at the crowd. But the thing is, you just play it off and you just go. You just go with it. I mean, once I did the same thing, the person in front of me was just like, actually destroyed the crowd. I mean, the crowd just got up and left because the comedian wasn't handling it. And it was just literally two people stayed. And I just sat down almost like next to their table and just started like doing jokes and stuff. So other people, you know, sometimes you'd be like, oh, I don't want to do that, or it's flustered. But like you said, that's a good character building. And you just try, you just realize it's just fun. I mean, the bottom line, people are there to be entertained. So just go with it and try some different things. And who knows, like maybe you'll like hit upon something that'll resonate with the crowd or the people or yourself, and you'll come out stronger.
Yeah, you know, you graduated from Gwen.
Oh, no, I was going to say, like, I think a lot of the stuff that I like to do, too, is I do like a lot of political comedy as well. So you're always watching over minefields when you start doing that, because you're going to hit a topic that, you know, that someone might definitely not agree with and might be passionate about the other side. So you kind of have to – you try to present something in a comedic way that hopefully both you guys can connect on, the audience and you, the performer.
Do you like to read the crowd and maybe, you know, listen to the comedian before or whatever to see what kind of hits and all that as well and kind of get that mood of the crowd so you don't have that problem?
Not really. I know some people do, but I feel like for me, like I just like to – I started getting more into just working with the audience, so you never really know where that's going to go. So for me, it's just like I feel like you just got to do your stuff, your material, and just go with that. And, you know, sometimes it hits, sometimes it doesn't, but you could do the same act, you know, over and over. Sometimes it hits, sometimes it doesn't. You feel like, oh, maybe I can adjust it a little bit to the crowd, but I think a lot of times it's just like, hey, this is what I'm bringing, and hopefully you like it. And if not, okay. You know, that's fine too. But I think a lot of comedians, you know, a lot of people I think would have a different view. They're like, okay, I just want to get the laugh. But for me, I'm just like, you know what? I just want to be me. And, you know, maybe you weren't thinking that's the kind of humor you like, but then maybe in the end you'll like that.
Now, like I said, you graduated from Tulane. You know, did you, what degree did you get from Tulane?
I had a marketing degree, and then I also did like a lot of theater classes.
Yeah, I was interested in that just because you know, you're starting to kind of branch out into writing and also producing stuff like your new video out right now. I mean, how is it for you to kind of do that? I mean, it seems like almost a natural fit for you if you come from that kind of background. And by the sounds of it, it was something that you were kind of passionate about.
Yeah, absolutely. From that background where you're just like, okay, yeah, you're performing and you kind of have to write these sketches. So you're just kind of getting used to, like I was saying, like writing some stuff. And you're like, okay, well, what's also the people that I'm working with, what brings out the best in them? Because ultimately, if you know, if they're bringing their A game and it elevates you, it's only going to make everybody look better in that instance, you know, when you get other people in their comfort zone. So that was a big thing. And then with marketing, you're also, or I was in the business school, you're working in a lot of groups. You're doing group projects. So you kind of have to learn to write, present, and get up. And I also learned, too, when you do a lot of presentations, a lot of people didn't want to do that. So I'd always kind of be the lead in those. So, you know, you're always like working on those projects and then getting out there. So it was definitely like a good experience for what I'm doing now.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I've always had a passion for producing as well. I mean, you know, I wound up doing some stuff. I mean, I got a film and television degree, and for a while, I mean, Montana State.
Oh, okay, nice.
And, you know, so I kind of got away from that for a while. And then, I ended up wanting to you know, kind of refill my passion again and try to do filmmaking again. And I ended up directing a couple of short movies that were still in the midst of getting produced. But I kind of loved just being in the director's chair and to be able to work with people and to be able to work with actors. I mean, it's kind of great to kind of, you know, I didn't realize I had that passion to be a part and to be a director as much. You know, I was always kind of more of a writer and all that as well. I mean, it's just kind of one of those things where it kind of felt almost right that to get into that thing and kind of do direction and all that as well. But, you know, I mean, what's it been like for you to kind of work with the actors that you've been working with and kind of, you know, how was it with this project?
Yeah. So that's interesting that you say that, because I feel like writing director is a great, like a lot of people are really starting to do both now, that combination. I think it helps you in both fields. You know, it's interesting, like, I started a program years ago where I was teaching acting to kids. And so I would do like on camera stuff and I would do improv and commercials. So that was kind of like my first foray into directing. Cause now you're not like, okay, I'm an actor, I'm thinking about all these different things. Now you're just like, okay, I'm all about the person on the other side and making them better. So, and then if you're dealing with kids, like I would deal with kids like 8 to 14, 15. So attention spans are off. So you're like, okay, if I can do that, I feel like I can work with adults a little bit easier. So that was like a great training for me. And then when I do this, I wrote a bunch of different shorts and then started going a little bit longer. I learned, like, okay, even though this is my thing and I'm going to be the lead, I got to give everybody, you know, a good part to shine. So I learned about, like, okay, I don't need to always take the best jokes or the best thing in this particular short. I know a lot of people, like, they just want to, like, okay, I wrote it, I want to make myself, okay, it's all about me. So that for me was like a really good experience to learn, like, hey, you know, like I was saying earlier, like, if everyone else shines, it's only going to make this project better. And then what happened was, for this video that I'm doing, Diaper Dawn, which is a, I mean, we really had no budget for it. So it was just like pulling all these different people together or like they just kind of believed in what I was doing, and I had to name people in the video. So a lot of it's like, okay, if you kind of build those relationships with people, that's like, for me, like the biggest thing. So I don't know if you thought that too with directing, like if I have these relationships, I can, you know, we can work with different people to make this really good project.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing too. I mean, on my project, I mean, I was on a shoestring, you know, and the thing is that if you have really talented people, that really talented actors that to work with, I mean, that kind of makes everything well worth it. And, you know, it's great to be able to have, you know, have supportive actors that are willing to, you know, almost donate their time to a project like this. Or, you know, it's great to be able to see that as well, and to have them believe in the project as well. So, I mean, it's great to be able to be able to see that as well. I mean, you know, to be able to work with the actors and I mean, a lot of great comedic actors too, I'm pretty sure on this one, right?
Yeah, I have this one, Eugene Kuzmina, who is a stand-up / was modeling since 13 and also done a lot of movies and shows. And so in this video, I play baby Donald Trump, and then I have someone to play like Ivanka, Melania, and Sarah Sanders. So, and all of them have that comedic background. So it was really, really exciting to work with them. And they lip sync. So, like, for them, it's just like, okay, I got to bring, like, a certain attitude. And it's short. So, you know, not a lot of people really, you know, would want to do that. But they were like, okay, I really believe this. I think this is a funny song. And they just, like you said, lend their time. And I had some really good people do illustration. I had some really good music people produce as well. So once I saw the final project, yeah, it's like you were saying with the shoestring budget, you never know what, you know, how it's going to land. And then when it comes out, you're like, okay, this is great. And then everyone who donated their time was like, oh, you know, it came out better than I thought. So you definitely feel really, you know, really like a lot of love with all the people working together.
Yeah, I mean, Eugenia's a regular guest on the show. I mean, she's absolutely talented and just amazing as a, as an individual. And to be able to see what she does, I mean, everything that she does, I mean, it's kind of almost crazy to be able to think that she balances everything, but she does. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's great to be able to see some success on that as well. I mean, obviously the video is doing very, very well right now. So it's great to be able to see that as well. You know, what other things you got in the pipeline? Do you have any other ideas that you're looking to pursue?
Yes, I have this other show that I've been trying to get made for a couple of years called Heavenly Kingdom. And so I'm trying to do a fundraiser. I have a couple episodes written, and we shot some shorts for it to try to get some fundraising. And then we also had it out in the film festival. And it's kind of about, like, characters behind, like a Disney-like amusement park, in kind of like a rom-com, kind of like a Hangover meets, like, Always Sunny in Philly. So so that one I'm trying to get that one out. That's kind of like my little passion project. And then I have a movie coming out in September called Half New Year that I got to play a small part, and it just won an audience award at the Greek Film Festival in L.A. Last week. And then I have a couple other different shows.
Okay,
okay.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Cool. Say, it's kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy that almost every single holiday has a movie about it now.
Yes, I know. And this is a holiday. It's like Half New Year. Okay, well, let's make that into a fun holiday. It's kind of like a buddy comedy. So, yeah, no, it is really interesting, right? There's so many different things that are out that movies are attached to.
I wait for President's Day to come out at some point. But
I'm sure they will.
Yeah, I mean it's great. I mean, the comedy scene obviously is great on there as well. I mean, you know, it's been interesting to say the least in terms of comedy and the ability to produce shows. And right now it's kind of almost a hotbed. There's quite a few distribution channels out there as well. So hopefully things work out with the show, and hopefully you get some traction.
Thanks. Yeah, it's pretty amazing now. Like, TV is so, I feel like it's so much more interesting than a lot of movies that are out now. I mean, there's just so many different stories. And the cool thing about it is, I'm not sure, when did you graduate school?
95.
No, okay.
I'm sorry.
Oh, 2000. Okay. So yeah, we're pretty close to when we graduated. So, like, back then it was so expensive to make everything. A lot of stuff was on film or digital, just didn't really look good. But nowadays, you know, you can get like a really great camera for a couple thousand, $2,000 and just make really great programs, and editing programs are incredible. So I think now it's just like the golden age to be able to go out and self-produce and make projects. When we were in college, it wasn't really the same.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, it's kind of crazy to think, because I think right when we were right there, that was when the digital conversion was going on. I mean, I was still cutting film in film school, but they were also teaching us digital because we knew that was going to be the future of what was going to go on. And those editors were, you know, they were slow. They were kind of clunky. But now, I mean, just the editors that we are afforded right now, I mean, yeah, it is light years better than what we worked on early back in the day.
Oh yeah, I mean, when we did this video, we shot everything on a green screen, and then we had these awesome backgrounds, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, let's try that, and 3 seconds later, no, I don't know if this one's working, let's try that one. Like, yeah, back then, yeah, like you said, it would have taken forever to even find someone who could even do that or could do it efficiently.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, and, you know, also with the idea of, you know, the platforms as well, the ability to take risks. Back in the day, I mean, it was very rare that you could even take any sort of risk with the – with maybe the television networks not, you know, kind of, you know, inking it out and saying, no, it's just too far. But now it seems like there's very little, if no boundaries in terms of that as well. I mean, obviously something that you're probably thinking about in your project.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's the most amazing thing. Like this other show we shot too, Amusement Park, like it would have been impossible to do, but through green screen and through some other like creative ways, like you can make something look really incredible now. So you're like, okay, well now I have an idea. I think we can execute this. So yeah, that's the part that's so exciting, especially like if you have like a creative mind or other creative people, you're like, okay, well let's see how far we can go with this. Especially when you hear stories,
yeah,
you know, probably the same way. It's like, yeah, go ahead, sorry.
No, yeah, I was going to mention that, you know, the story, I mean, in terms of story and what you can do on there as well is something kind of great as well. I mean, I don't think censors are really that much of a factor anymore just because there's certain outlets that don't have censors.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. I remember, like, just watching the shows, like, you know, the growing up, like, with the 80s or 90s, you know, like, some of that stuff was just, when you look back on it, it was just like so squeaky clean. You know, the comedy wasn't that good. The dramas, they were just like, okay, there wasn't much to it. And then what's going on now? It's like, I can't even believe some of the stuff that they have on TV, like how creative they are or how far they're pushing boundaries.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just crazy. And I'm interested to see how your project progresses. Like I said, hopefully you get some traction. We can get some distribution for you as well. It sounds like a really interesting concept, just the behind the scenes of a theme park with people in costumes. And I mean, that's, you know, I mean, yeah, we don't really get to, you know, we get to talk a little bit about what those guys do on a daily basis. But yeah, it's kind of crazy to say the least.
I think a lot.
Where can people?
Well, for me,
yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Oh, no, I was going to say, I think for a lot of people, it's so relatable because, like, we've all been to an amusement park, and you always, you know, as a kid, that was like, oh, wow, you get to go to those trips. So it's just, like, built up. And then it's like, well, what happens behind the scenes to the people that you see, the characters? So that's the part I was always intrigued about.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine with those big heads and all that as well. I mean, you can have any kind of expression you want with nobody knowing, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy to say the least. So like I said, I'm really interested in kind of seeing that as well. Where can people find you online?
So it's you can go to Mark with a C, S, Gordon, Gordon, and you'll see my video on there and some of my other projects as well. And then Instagram, same thing, Mark S. Gordon, Twitter, Mark S. Gordon, and on Facebook as well. And honestly, like,
okay,
if anybody wants to connect or talk or someone just starting off, I'm always happy to talk and kind of listen to what they're doing. I had a couple people do that and just kind of offer some advice, and who knows, maybe we always can collaborate as well. I'm always open to working with creative people.
Well, I mean, that's great to hear, Mark. You know, maybe we'll sometime down the line have to collaborate on something too. So,
that'd be great.
I'll definitely keep in touch with you, and hopefully we'll have you back on once some other things come down the line. But thank you for joining us on the show, and we'll hopefully talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot. I had a great time, and thank you so much for having me on.
No problem at all, Mark, and best of luck to you on the show.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Okay, talk to you soon.
Okay, take care.
Bye. Mark S. Gordon, everybody. You guys can check him out. Just look up Mark S. Gordon. That's MARCGORDON. You guys can check him out as well. It's great to be able to talk to him a little bit as well. We're just waiting on Chad Rico to give us a call in. Hopefully, we'll be within the next few minutes. You know, we'll be doing regular shows, I think, for the next couple weeks. Hopefully, in July, we'll hopefully revamp the show. It's been taking a little bit of time to get some things in order. So we'll definitely keep you posted on that. It'll be kind of crazy. It'll be good, and we won't be losing any of our edge necessarily, or any of our touch, as it were. We'll be just adding a couple more things that'll make the show a little bit more in depth, and it'll be interesting. We'll have a lot more interesting guests on the show as well. We'll probably have some live stuff as soon as we get everything kind of situated as well. So like I let you guys know on that as well. And a reminder that you guys can check out Somewhere in Vegas on Spreaker Radio, our new home, also on Blog Talk as well. You guys can also check us out over on iHeartRadio, and you can easily ask your Alexa to listen to Somewhere in Vegas, and it'll play the latest podcast. You guys can also check us out on SoundCloud. I believe they only update, I think, just one episode, and they'll delete some of the older episodes, so just kind of a warning to you on that. And you guys can go on iTunes and subscribe, and whatever your podcast catcher is, you guys can check it out as well. We'll have a couple more things. I'm sorry we didn't do it last weekend, but we will have an episode next weekend, but with that in mind, our guest is now on with us. He is a math professor and rapper. His current album, 12 Weeks of Summer, is currently currently dropping single by single by single. This last week, Legends in the Coop has dropped, but now Pure Highbury will be following this week. This guy is, you know, pretty much I call him a renaissance man because of all the stuff that he does. We have Chad Rico on with us right now. How you doing, Chad?
I'm doing good. I'm happy to be a part of this today.
Yeah, I'm happy you're on the show because I was really intrigued by you. Just to see all the stuff that you do in terms of not only rapping, but being a math professor, being a financial analyst, clothing manufacturer, designer, filmmaker, and world traveler. I mean, it's just kind of crazy to be able to see all the things that you've accomplished as well. I mean, how's it been this past year, and, you know, being able to create this album?
You know, it was a good time for me. I took time and I sat down and I was able to have some time to go through songs, and, you know, it's more so like a playlist project of songs I made, and to be able to release them weekly has been like just a great experience for me, prepping for it and whatnot. And after I dropped my last project, The Myth, it was like I wanted to do something that showed a little bit of a range for me. So, that's what I did here. And just in the last year, you know, with the whole Golden Gems, which is basically my umbrella company for everything, you know, we've been able to have a lot of fun with the artwork we do for the singles, and some which are already being sold online at goldengemstore.com. And so, like, yeah, so it's been fun to kind of find something that can really apply to a whole bunch of things at once. Like with film, you know, you have music and film. On top of that, film are based on stories, and that's what you're telling through music. So, you know, and with the graphic design for clothing, we're expressing, you know, through art, we're expressing stories and whatnot through the different clothes that we put out. So it's been cool to let them all kind of work together, you know?
Was that a passion that you had when you were younger, to be able to design and to be able to really kind of work on the artwork or at least have appreciation for it?
Yeah, it's funny. The name Golden Gems, I came up like I was in like the ninth grade in high school where I came up with the name. And, you know, I wasn't able to figure out a place to use it until later in life. But, you know, I always wanted to work in these different fields. And I think part of me was always trying to figure out a way to bridge the gap where you can, you know, everything is separate, but they can all work together. So, you know, but between everything I'm doing, it's a bit of unity there. And that makes it doable.
Now, when I was reading your description, I was kind of interested in this question. You know, math takes a certain kind of a certain kind of mind, how your mind is organized. And same mm-hmm. thing could be said with rapping. I mean, is that kind of what was a natural kind of feel for you, just to kind of be able to think quickly on your feet in terms of, you know, math and also in rap, and has that kind of have any kind of crossover?
Definitely it has. You know, just in expressing myself the words, it has been helpful. And from math, I think you learn how to problem solve, and you also learn how to strategize. So, I mean, that's applied in business, and honestly, it's applied to me putting songs together, you know, because it's thought, and to be able to put songs together even in the time I've been able to do it has been very much, you know, effective of me having the math background, because it allows me to look for ways to do things efficiently so that I don't, in essence, waste time, you know?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's great to be able to have that kind of thing where you kind of have that kind of thing in the back of your mind, just to have that thing in your pocket where you can kind of take it out from time to time, especially being an entrepreneur like yourself, to be able to figure things out and problem solve on the fly, as it were, as well. So it's great to be able to hear that. You know, you just had your first single drop this past Friday. You know, what's been the reaction like so far this past weekend?
Well, it was cool. I had another interview on 104.5 in Fayetteville, North Carolina. They played on the radio. I was in the club yesterday here in San Francisco, and they played it in the club. So, you know, just to get the initial support from it, it's been really great, and I've been really getting really good feedback on the track. And, you know, that's been good. I mean, you make these things and you want them to do well, but you kind of have to see how everybody reacts. So to get all the positivity that I've been getting is definitely encouraging, you know? So.
Yeah, a lot of clubs out here, I mean, will do that. They'll drop new songs in there. And, yeah, I see what kind of the reaction you kind of get from them as well. So, yeah, I'm very familiar with how that kind of goes. I mean, yeah, there is a kind of a thing, you know, there's a kind of a visceral thing just to be able to see how a crowd reacts versus, you know, maybe, you know, if an individual listens to a track, you know, I mean, they'll get into it and all that as well, but kind of almost a different kind of almost feel when it comes to, you know, playing in front of a crowd as well. So, you know, it's kind of interesting to say the gates. I would say almost between going into a theater and watching a movie versus, maybe watching a movie at home. So it's great to be able to have that reaction, and I got kind of that instant reaction to it as well. So it's great to be able to hear that.
Yeah, it's been pretty cool. And I like the movie thing, the example used there, because I'm going to a club and they're playing the song and it's a new song. So it's like you have to take a step back and watch people actually respond to the song. And that's been kind of interesting for me. I mean, it's been a great experience, but of course, you know, you want everybody to enjoy it. And when they do, it's great. But I think it's important for me to just continue to move forward. Like, I need to have a tunnel vision with this project just to make sure I push through, you know. This is the first of 12 weeks, and we're going to keep going. So to get the initial response to be so great, it's cool. But I know it's very much a marathon, so I just want to make sure I continue.
Well, speaking of movies, I mean, are you considering music videos for some of these songs?
Yeah, Legend in the Coop will have a music video. I'm working on the other two as well right now, so they'll be released a little bit later in the summer. In the meantime, we've kind of done some graphic videos using the actual graphics from the single, and I'll be releasing those weekly as well. So Legend of Coop just happened. So early this week we'll be dropping that kind of graphic video. And then we'll be moving on to the next single. And then a little later in the summer we'll be actually dropping the actual video for Legend of Coop. And with that being said, we also have some actual movies in pre-production that should be hitting theaters next year. So it's a busy time, but it's definitely fun.
Yeah, I mean, that's great to hear. I mean, how's it been for you to kind of shoot music videos? Is the Legend of the Coop video your first, or have you done that before?
Well, we did New Level. If you look that up on YouTube, we did New Level, and we also have the working video for my last project, which is about to drop, and also North Face in September. But the cool thing about music videos is to kind of have a background in film. We my team, we come together and do our own treatments for the videos. So we put actually a little bit more time into the actual videos and giving it kind of a storyline or kind of just a little bit more creative and have a little bit more control as we create the narrative for the videos, which has been pretty cool so far. So if you get a chance, you know, you put in Chad Rico New Level on YouTube, we have a video that, you know, did pretty well. And, you know, it was the first one we did, and it's pretty cool. It's a whole Star Wars type of theme, and, you know, we were on, like, spaceships. It was pretty cool. So if you check that out, you get a flavor for what we do.
Well, I mean, that's great to hear. I mean, obviously you have a great team behind you as well. I mean, you know, it's kind of building something like that, building a team. I mean, it's really important, especially, you know, finding the right people to be able to fit or to be able to see the vision that you have as well. I mean, how was it for you to kind of build your company and build your, start building your little empire with the people that you've sought out and, you know, work with? And what's it like kind of working with them?
Well, you know, it's a great experience. I think it's important that when you start any type of business, you're real with yourself. And one thing I have to be real with is everything I'm good at and also things I can use help. You know, I work with one of my college roommates, Justin Amy. He's one of the film writers that we have on our team. And we're able to kind of have all these stories of travel all these places. But making sure that it's to create right structure has been important. So having somebody like that has been important. I have a good friend during Lab. I actually had managed a clothing line before my own. And so being able to run designs, you know, with him and him help me with bringing some of these designs I have to life has been essential. And along the way, just meeting different people that we've met has been very essential in just helping me move forward. And again, I think when building a team is just understanding what people are good at. You know, I work with another gentleman on production, Corinzo Brown. I work with another one. CA kind of helps me with everything, you know. And then I have people like Hotch Boss who introduced me to everybody. I'm saying all these names, but the thing is that I think it's important to understand that you need different people. You need to be able to collaborate. And I've been blessed with the opportunity to meet people that share my vision and are all about making it come to life. So I think when it's building a team, it's learning when to delegate and how to delegate. Because the truth is, it's certain things that you may be good at, certain things that other people need to be good at, but I think it's important that you identify what those things are. That way you can move efficiently.
Yeah, you know, also it's kind of, you know, it's important to you know, give those opportunities out, you know, and see if people have you know, potential, you know, I mean, there's potential there and, you know, kind of let that kind of go through as well. So it's great to be able to form a team like that and to be able to see people grow within your organization and, you know, kind of grow out their skills as well. So it's great to be able to see that as well. You know, like I said, we got 12 singles coming out this week. It's Pure Highbury. It's coming out this week as well. So, you know, tell me a little bit about the concept of you know releasing these singles every single week for the summer, and basically your thoughts about, you know, how, you know, going in production with this EP, and you know, what's kind of the thought process behind it.
Well, when I did my last EP, The Mist, it was 7 songs on there, and I put it all out at once. And then I was kind of focused in on pushing one single and then another single. And as a result, you know, things can definitely get swallowed up. So a lot of the intention with this 12-week process was to give everything its individual focus. So we have graphics for each individual single because, you know, I put time in each single that came out, and I want to make sure that they get a focus, and I wanted to make sure I create a little bit more consistency. Because the other thing I recognize, when you put out the whole project, people might tune in to one song, which is great. But, you know, you kind of want them to hear everything. So instead of giving it to everybody at once, I was like, well, what happens if I give it to them week by week? And it gives me a chance to build my catalog as well. Go ahead.
I was going to say something, you know, it's like, you know, you don't want one child to get more attention than the other. You want to make sure that they all get equal attention.
Yeah, I definitely like your analogies, but that's exactly what it is. And you can't, when you present them all at once, somebody's going to get more attention. So, you know, the intention on making sure that, even for my fans and fans to come, to, you know, create a consistency, give you something to look forward to. Because me personally, I really love music. And the only thing I love more than music is new music. So the concept of being able to continually drop new music is pretty exciting to me.
One question I like to ask a lot of musicians is what's probably the fastest that you turn around a song?
Like 30 minutes.
30 minutes? Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, with your writing, I mean, is that, you know, obviously it's something that you may be thinking about wherever and all that as well. You probably have it on your that you sometimes scribble down ideas on in maybe your phone or something like that. I mean, you know, tell me a little bit about the writing process for you.
Well, you know, I usually write music based on things I've experienced. Even if it's things I've seen, and I've traveled and be able to see a lot of different things. So when I come into the studio, I think initially it was always the concept of studio time costs money, so I kind of want to already know what I'm going to do before I get there. So if I've already listened to the beat, I used to write everything and then just come there and record everything. And I recognized a little bit, giving myself more freedom was actually coming in there with a concept and being able to stick to the concept. And you know, the surprising thing, now that I've recorded for some time, I understand that I can record things fast. But I didn't understand that was happening. I think when I finished my first EP, I worked with a gentleman here, legendary, Michael Denning. And I remember he turned my tray, he said, "Hey, man, you finished that pretty quickly." In my head, I didn't think it was quick, but my whole thing was that, hey, man, all this costs money, so I want to make sure I get it as efficiently as I can. So a lot of times before I come in there, I already know what concept I want to stick to, and so I framework things around that. So therefore, even if I freestyle or even if I write, it happens efficiently because in my head, I already have what I'm going to do. Or I have an idea of what I'm going to do. So, for the most part, I don't just come to the studio to sit down. I come with like, okay, I already know I have an idea for a hook, or you know, I have an idea how this verse goes, and well, this is the topic I want to focus on, and that makes it a lot easier for me to complete songs in the studio. It's kind of having that idea already. What's the topic we're going to talk about? What's the feeling I'm going for? You know, and a lot of times also before I go to the studio, whatever instrumentals I get the chance to listen into, I just take time to really hear those and, you know, think about what feeling it gives me and then trying to, you know, add to that. I played saxophone growing up and I would love to do solos. And one of the things about solos is that you have the music already and then you're playing, you're adding to it. You're essentially freestyling. And that has really helped me, the concept of making music, because it's the same concept. I'm looking to complement the beat. So, therefore, I kind of already have how I want to do that before I get to the studio.
Yeah, now, and conversely, I mean, obviously the producers and the engineers may have ideas that flow through them that you can kind of work off of. When you get in studio, you know, you may have a concept and they may find something that's maybe, you know, well, why don't we try this? And, you know, something that's a little bit better, you know, might be a little bit, it'll, you know, kind of enhance your idea or, you know, kind of get that as well. I mean, obviously, you know, working with producers like that, you know, that's obviously, you know, a big benefit to you in terms of both creativity and I think almost time, because some of them probably just know what you're kind of thinking.
Yeah, and that helps a lot too, especially when it comes to like pitching with voice or, you know, with different nuances that they put within the song. I think there's something great about working, you know, with one main engineer or one main producer. It's great to work with a variety of them. I like getting different type of beats. But when you're working with a particular engineer, I think it's always helpful when it comes to them knowing what can work for you. And, you know, really just adding another extra oomph to everything you're doing. And that's something I did appreciate in my recording process is that, you know, I recorded all these songs with the same engineer. And it was helpful for me because they were able to tell me, hey, you know, when you say it like this, this might sound better. Or, hey, why don't we change this pitch right here? And those different things, like, you know, definitely when you're doing music, everybody is contributing at some point. You know, the engineer is helping everything sound a little bit better. So I really benefited from having people with my best interests in mind when it came to actually making the music. So that helped tremendously.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. That's great to hear. Now, you know, people can check out the music videos on YouTube as well as they come out, as it were. Like I said, Pure Highbury is going to be coming out this week. Currently, Legend in the Coop is currently out right now. Where can people check you out online?
All right. Well, we have my Instagram, which is International the Word. So it's International Chad Rico. Chadrico. That's the Instagram. I'm also Chad Rico on Facebook and INTL Chad Rico on Twitter. It's like the abbreviation for international. And then other than that, look also out for Golden Gems Store. It's literally gold, A-N-D, Gems, G-M-S, Store, STORE.com as that's the clothing line we have, and we'll be dropping, like, special edition T-shirts for the different singles coming out as well. So keep a lookout for that. So you can just participate. We'll have some cool things relating to the different singles dropping that will be available on the site. So just keep in tune for that. And also on YouTube, we also have the Golden Gems page. So if you subscribe to the page, You'll be in for a treat. Like I said, we'll be dropping these different graphic videos every week. So, and the next one is going to be dropping early next week for Legend of Coop and then the following week for the next singles as a result. So each single telling different stories. Legend of Coop was actually written right after I got back from NBA All-Star Weekend. It was really cool because we were out there and the song I had, New Level, was actually played at the NBA All-Star Experience, which was pretty cool. And, you know, a new producer had sent me some beats, and we just collaborated with one of the artists from the label, Cam Crazy, and we just came together and did something really cool. So everything is on the Umbrella Company, and with that being said, all the music is released on the Golden Gem. So you'll see that on the tagline on all the streaming sites. But more importantly, yeah, we have the Facebook, the Twitter, the Instagram, and we also have our YouTube page, and we're looking to put more content. So on that YouTube page, look out, because on top of these songs, we're also adding the working video and the North Face in September video to that channel as well. So look out, we're going to have some exciting things going on that page.
Well, I hope you can come out here and maybe drop a couple of singles out here at some of the clubs out here as well. So if you make it out here to Vegas, definitely would be great to be able to see you. You know, definitely talk to you soon. I mean, obviously a lot of stuff coming out for you as well. So we'll get you back on the show and kind of get an update.
Definitely, definitely. And I love Vegas. I have a lot of good friends and some family there as well. So. With that being said, I love to come. I'm already into being out there, and actually I get played out there a little bit as well, too. So I'm looking forward to the summer, and I'm, again, appreciative that you gave me this opportunity to talk to you all today. And look forward to the next singles coming out for this 12 Weeks of Summer, our project. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's great to be able to see and continued luck with your success right now. And definitely look forward to the rest of the singles coming out this summer, and we will talk to you soon.
All right. I look forward to it. You all have a good day.
Yeah, you see it. See it, Chad.
All right.
Chad Rico, everybody, you can check him out, International Chad Rico, and you can check him out on all the platforms as well. Like I said, we'll have a show next week. I'll have an announcement about, I'll post who's going to be on coming up pretty much on Wednesday. I'll take a look and see who I want to book. There's quite a few people that are in line wanting to be on the show, so I'm going to try to kind of hook everybody up as much as I possibly can. It'll be Sunday, this coming Sunday, usual time, at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. So we'll have, you'll have those shows, and then we may change up if we get to, to our new studios here in Vegas, I should say. So, we will let you guys know on that, as well. Please check us out on Spreaker.com, our new home. Also blogtalkradio.com, it's still running as well. Like I said, you guys can check us out on the iHeartRadio now. Just tell your Alexa to play Somewhere in Vegas, and it will play that for you as well. You guys can check it out, like I said, at pretty much all your podcast catchers as well. With that in mind, we'll see you guys next week, Sunday, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, live here on Blog Talk Radio, and then, we can catch up old episodes on Spreaker.com. We'll talk to you guys next week. And again, happy Father's Day.